Wow, I feel surrounded by beauty. Thank you. Jeb Eddy brought this in today, thinking it was a particularly appropriate day for it. He was right, of course. Just at our first service, and perhaps you caught it at the coffee hour between the services, we were talking about the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, again under threat, despite the government shutting down, it's managing to operate enough to try to despoil it once again. Here's our beautiful and fragile Earth. I think it's appropriate to put it in the bell. Is that okay? Okay, thank you. The world does seem to cry out to be saved. Although when we chose this topic, I think maybe Brian and I bit off more than we could chew. The burden of saving the world is such a heavy one. It rests upon us all too much. So, need we do it alone? Save the world when we've seemed incapable of it so far? In Dostoevsky's novel, The Idiot, one character looks at another who's widely recognized for her remarkable beauty and says, "The world will be saved by beauty." By beauty. Can it be that simple? Maybe we can be guided by what the great rabbi and activist Abraham Joshua Heschel said about prayer. He said, "Prayer cannot bring water to parched fields, or mend a broken bridge, or rebuild a ruined city. But prayer can water an arid soul, mend a broken heart, and rebuild a weakened will." I guess the message is that prayer changes us and we change the world. Likewise, when we perceive beauty, perhaps we are saved. And thus, we can reach out and help a world that needs our care. So can beauty save the world? No, I don't think so. But beauty saves human souls. And we can save the world. Beauty gives us the reason, for one thing, the inspiration to do what must be done. Traveling through a beautiful piece of the earth, like Joshua Tree, we know why we must go gently upon this earth. We return renewed in our dedication to care for it. And beauty gives us the strength to carry this heavy burden. It's an antidote to discouragement and despair. And if there are some who will despoil it, as happened at Joshua Tree just this week when it wasn't under guard for a few days, well, then we can be filled with despair ourselves, like the person who responded to destruction of two of the Joshua trees there with, "We deserve to go extinct." If there are some who will fill us with hopelessness at those moments, there are thousands and millions more who will be inspired by beauty and curb their own destructive and wasteful tendencies to give more protection to what is beautiful and good. Let us take inspiration from one another. So, before we take up even our small piece of the work of saving this world, because that's all we do, each of us a small piece, we would do well to drink deeply from the well of beauty. And the more that we can perceive it, the more we will know that these kinds of obstacles are nothing before our joyful determination. This is why, when we gather together, we make our services times of beauty. We gather in a place that was designed to be uplifting and beautiful, to allow us to see one another's faces and the beauty of the natural world and what we have created around us. We bring things like this gorgeous hyacinth. Maybe you saw last week it was just a bud. And now we see the beautiful blossom above. It smells wonderful too. And as well, the beauty of the bulb and the root below, usually hidden from view, but Jeb and Edie, who cared for it and brought it here, have displayed the whole of the beauty of this flower. And music in our services, as we've heard so much just today, it's not a frill, it's not a decoration. It's the heart of what we do. For many people, it's the reason they come. Last week, after the beautiful guitar music of Yuri Liverzone was met with a standing ovation, one person here teasingly asked me if I'm ever jealous of the musicians. Now, I would never say no to a standing ovation, but really, I am too grateful to them to be jealous. I need that beauty. I need it, like all of us. It's what keeps our hearts beating. That's why it appears in our benediction. And I'll tell the story, I'll post the story of how beauty found its way into our benediction on my page on uucpa.org this afternoon. Have a look. When we feel that ugliness is winning, let us consider how much of the beauty around us we don't even see, we don't even smell and hear and perceive. Long ago, I remember reading an article about trying to introduce children to the beauty of nature. And it said to adults, you know, adults get this wrong a lot. You go on a hike and you say to children, look at that beautiful vista, stop and look. And kids are not usually very interested in that. It's hard to get them to be interested in the great big views that adults think are the point. Adults go for the grand view, but kids, in the meantime, while they're ignoring their parents saying, look at this, isn't it worth climbing for, they're noticing the woolly bear caterpillar right there beside the path. They're taking an interest in a twig that they picked up along the way. They're really good at seeing the beauty close up that the adults can miss. So it's fine to see the grand views as well, but to remember that there's lots of beauty all around us in less splashy ways. And it's not easy because our society does its best to monetize beauty. And for that, it has to be declared a scarce commodity. Nothing is less scarce than beauty, but that's what we say. You know, you have to go to this faraway place, to a pristine beach or a mountaintop to see beauty. You have to buy this, that, and the other to feel happy looking at yourself in the mirror, because beauty is so rare. It only exists in these actors or these models, and if you're going to look anything like them, it's going to take a lot of work and makeup and possibly surgery. In our hymnal, the words of Minot Judson Savage advise us, seek not afar for beauty. It glows, he says, in dew-wet grasses all about our feet. We don't have to go far away or do anything extraordinary. It's right here. When I went to Mexico, I spent 6 months, as you probably know, in Oaxaca. It's not particularly known as a beautiful place. It's not the place that people go to take in extraordinary natural or architectural beauty. I found myself trying to explain to people that the beauty of that place was in its ordinariness, even what some might call ugliness. Not just in its hills that anyone would call lovely, but in the lines of the people's faces. Not just in the glass and stone of its churches, but in the ordinary walls of buildings, just shops and old houses, where an artist could gaze for hours on the layers of crumbling stone and peeling paint and chipped adobe that had been revealed by decay. Decay, a word that evokes ugliness, not beauty, but there it was, beauty before us. Issei Maria Barnwell, whom you may know as one of the founding members of the a cappella African-American women's group, Sweet Honey in the Rock, also a Unitarian Universalist and the conductor of the Jubilee Singers at All Souls UU congregation in Washington, D.C. She wrote about finding beauty where others might see only lack. She says, there were no mirrors in my Nana's house. And the beauty that I saw in everything was in her eyes, like the rising of the sun. And so she writes about this childhood. I was intrigued by the cracks in the walls. I tasted with joy the dust that would fall. The noise in the hallway was music to me. The trash and the rubbish just cushioned my feet. The beauty in everything was in her eyes. Now this child herself, African American and poor, might have been told by others that she was ugly and her surroundings were ugly if she listened. But instead of a social ideal of beauty shaped by white supremacy, or an ideal of a kind of comfort that only money can buy, she had her grandmother's eyes. I never knew that my skin was too black. I never knew that my nose was too flat. I never knew that my clothes didn't fit. I never knew there were things that I'd missed. She says the world outside was a magical place. I only knew love. I never knew hate. And the beauty in everything was in her eyes. Right here in this middle class setting, we had a similar experience of how people can perceive beauty where more jaded minds might tell them it does not exist. Several years ago, we fashioned this beautiful garden with the work of many people right here in our front area there. It's beautiful, it's welcoming, it's gentle on the earth, made from native plants. But some people loved what was already there. The tangle of junipers that people like me thought, can we please get rid of them now? They're out of control. The people who were small enough to get right inside the junipers and explore a labyrinth of tangled roots and sheltered rooms that were just their size, they said, it's beautiful already. Some of the children found a wondrous, beautiful world of adventure within what the adults, including me, saw as ugliness. Now, I worried, as a parent and as a leader here, that they would find broken bottles in there, used hypodermic needles, or worse. It's amazing they never found any cat corpses. And by taking out the junipers and creating the gardens, we made our buildings visible and welcoming to people passing by. It was absolutely a wise decision, and one made for the sake of beauty. Nevertheless, it's worth noting that there are those among us who in that moment showed us the beauty even in a mess of ragged old bushes. Beauty is all around us, as the Navajo words said that Don and Wynn and then the choir shared with us. And even the things we are told to dismiss or hide from our sight, as Issei Barnwell said, as our own children reminded us, right here in our yard. Beauty is all around us and within us. It's not only Chopin, a musical genius interpreted for us by our wonderful pianist, who brings us beauty, but also the noises of the street. Try sometime listening to them as if they are a work of art, as if what's coming through your headphones is just the music of voices, traffic, sirens. How does that sound? Beauty is not only in models, but in the eyes of the person facing us across the table. It's not only in butterflies, but in the delicately joined legs of a beetle. Not only in hummingbirds, but toads, as toads can tell us. not only in a freshly painted wall, but the layers revealed by one that poverty has left untended. Beauty is not only in the feel of soft grass under our feet, but the texture of detritus. It will save our souls, and we will save the world, inspired by and powered by the beauty that we have allowed in. So let all the beauty around us, right beneath our feet and in the unlikeliest places, seep into our bones and illuminate our eyes.